News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show at 222-1180, star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers, or the One Communications line at 1-800-295-1180. Now alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on 50,000-watt 1180 WHAM.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Sunday, the 19th of April, Anno Domini 2009, and you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Wright.
I'm Alexander Wheel.
And at 5 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, stuff you can lose, things to choose, a new pair of shoes. We're going to start with Time Warner. Time Warner Cable's decision to back off from a usage-based pricing change for high-speed internet subscribers in four cities demonstrates how politically fraught the governance of internet access and pricing can be. Time Warner's new CEO, Glenn Britt, issued a statement late last week saying the company has shelved the pricing trials in Rochester, New York, Austin, and San Antonio, Texas, and Greensboro, North Carolina. Those trials, which started only 2 weeks earlier, we're going to charge subscribers for the amount of bandwidth they used. Time Warner called it consumption-based model. Britt said he had heard the public outcry over the pricing change and reaching the decision to pull back. It was an outcry that got members of Congress involved, and at one point, U.S. Senator Charles Schumer, Democrat of New York, even met with him to describe Rochester's outrage over the proposal, according to a statement Schumer issued. Maybe Britt would have been better off to launch the trials in other cities where the political machinery is not as sophisticated, one Washington insider remarked. But the real issues involved are much more difficult than counting the number of demonstrators or finding a way to quiet them. The reality is that data use on the internet is exploding, primarily due to video and other multimedia. It's becoming commonplace to download entire movies. While carriers complain that a small number of users, maybe less than 15%, are using so much internet capacity that they are hurting efficient and reliable internet access for average users, in a few years, the average user will be a bandwidth hog, too. Carriers complain that to keep up with this growing demand, they have to enlarge their networks quickly and deploy more efficient technologies that increase capacity. It seems inevitable to all parties that internet access will cost more, but making the transition to a new pricing scheme based on consumption can't be done overnight. The problem is that internet customers are holding current contracts that say they get unlimited bandwidth. So to come back with metering is basically the carrier saying, "We didn't mean it," said analyst Jack Gold. Really, that's like GM or Ford saying, "If you drive your car over 100,000 miles, we'll charge you more." One lobbyist, a Time Warner Cable rival who asked not to be named, said it was likely Time Warner and other carriers would be implementing metered pricing eventually. Time Warner Cable said it's going to focus for now on making measurement tools available so customers can learn how much bandwidth they consume. No matter what Senator Schumer and other lawmakers say, there are not many alternatives to charging for internet service based on usage. Nobody suggested anything else workable, and carriers have pointed to other countries, including Canada, where metering has worked. Which leads us to our...
It hasn't worked in Canada. It's been forced down the throats of customers.
Right. Well, right.
And one thing, though, you know, which is a misnomer, is they're saying the usage is up, but it's really not, in that kids who used to use a lot of IMing on their computers have now gone to their cell phones and texting.
Right.
Most kids would rather text than go sit there in front of a computer screen and... be IMing somebody.
Right.
And many of the cell phone providers are also internet providers, so they're getting hit from both ends.
Right. And there's a lot of competition there. You know, the more I use the internet to watch television, the less I'm watching it over my cable, and therefore the less the advertisers get at the cable stations, and the more the advertisers get online, which are not part of the cable station.
That's all right. a commonly perceived point.
But one thing, though, they don't say, and I guess I haven't looked into it, but all right, if you also have VoIP.
Yes, we've talked about that. Nobody knows.
But will that affect your usage?
Nobody seems to know.
It does affect your usage. The question is whether it will be counted or not.
Right. Nobody knows whether or not that will be counted.
Yeah, because, I mean, they're pushing these packages, get voice over, your internet and... Well, if that's also
My favorite part is they've got this new photo thing where you can upload all your photos and share them with family
share them
and
with
friends
grandma
and stuff.
Grandpa.
Now that's a Time Warner product. Will that come out of my usage?
Yes.
I think that's a good bet.
How can it?
Well, right, but the point is take it with one hand and give it back with the other.
And you probably know better than us, how can they technically know the difference between a VoIP packet and
that's easy.
Another data
packet?
That's real easy.
That's real easy.
Yeah.
They can do that easily.
Well, you were on with Mr. Lounsbury, were you not?
I was on the morning show. Well, he was all for it. He was all for the cap and all for Time Warner charging whatever they wanted to charge. And I was pointing out some of the flaws in that. One of the things he said was that, you know, they've got, I said they're a monopoly, and he said Frontier would disagree with that. And I said, well, no, Bob, maybe if you actually looked at the usage map, you'd see that there are massive amounts of Western and Southern tier where you don't have any competition to Time Warner. Frontier doesn't reach those places. So, yes, here in Rochester, which is a very parochial view of it, but here in Rochester, there's competition.
And it's not really apples and apples, because you're talking about data provided by a cable and data provided by a copper wire link.
Right.
They're different.
Right.
They're not really directly comparable.
Right. And at any rate, so those are the kind of things that we chit-chatted about. It was on the free-for-all, so it's just 5 minutes of yelling at each other back and forth. It's the
whole, you know, I've been doing a lot of thinking about this, because I overhear a lot of conversations about it, and I think I would be willing to consider a usage-based pricing structure if the service providers would battle the spam problem.
Right? Well, there's a couple of things involved here. First is, I won't be any longer going to websites that, what, the minute I go to the website, it starts streaming video at me.
Right.
Or starts streaming audio at me. And that includes, by the way, every radio and television station
in,
around.
They
immediately start streaming stuff at me. Okay, I'm not going to those places anymore, ever, because it's going to come out of my bandwidth.
Yeah.
The spam problem has gotten worse, because I don't get much text spam anymore. It's all graphic spam, because that gets past the filters. Those files are much, much larger than the text spam ever was.
Yep.
And if they got rid of the spam, they would have excess bandwidth available for everybody to do BitTorrenting.
Sure. But it's a tough problem, and I understand that they need to make more money to make their shareholders happy. I get that.
But if they upset enough customers to lose a customer base, their shareholders aren't going to be happy.
Well, and what they're betting is that a lot of people will complain and not a lot of people will actually leave.
Yeah, because that's what I was looking at myself. If I switched, I'm currently a Roadrunner subscriber. I have been since the beginning. And the way they were talking about their plans, my bill would go from $40 a month to $150 a month.
Right.
But if I go to another provider, I would get slower access.
Right.
I don't want slower. I want faster for cheaper.
And that's, right. that's why I say it's really a monopoly.
Yeah.
Well, yes, it is. And that's, you know, whatever. I'm not a lawyer and I don't really play one on television anymore. So
you're
going
to have to compare now speed and throughput.
But whether you're paying more or less, they're still not changing the speed at all, correct?
No.
So it's just a way of saying, just because...
No, there were speed. It was the tiers had speed, speed and bandwidth caps.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, I'll tell you what, though, like in Japan, what is it, 150 megabits per second? They get there. Korea's the most wired country on Earth. China's got huge swaths of the
country.
They
laugh at how slow Time Warner is over here.
Well, in terms of internet access, America's a third world country.
That's because our infrastructure is so old.
Yeah. And what they're saying, of course, is that they have to up the infrastructure, so they have to pay more. The problem I have is when somebody's out of a job, how do they go look for a job? Half of it's on the internet.
And that's what Representative Massa was, the bill he was introducing, was part of that, because of so many people looking for jobs on the internet.
Right.
That's how I found my job.
Yeah.
And let's stop pretending that anybody is going to come to Western New York with a new business, to start a new business, because all of them have some internet-based component nowadays. And who's going to do that when they've got to pay that sort of...
That was one of the anonymous lobbyists we're charging Representative Massa with, you know, because he's from Corning. And what else do they make in Corning? Fiber. So obviously he's going to, you know, work on fiber. We don't have fiber here. That's a moot point.
Yeah, right. at any rate, this leads us to our poll of the week. Now, if you go to our website, soundbites.org, that's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. And you will find our poll. It is titled, Time Warner Drops Usage-Based Access Fees for Now. And your choices are, yay, let's not celebrate prematurely, I'm still moving, I've already moved, and Fios now. So far, we have 74 votes, and let's not celebrate prematurely is way in the lead with 65%, followed by 15% who say Fios now. So, please vote in the poll. When you're done voting in the poll, of course, then you can, I know that just that one little thing, particularly about this, this little thing is not going to do it for you. So you need to then go over to at the little yellow box at the bottom, click on give us your opinion, take you to my website at AskNick.com.
That's AskNick.com.
And you'll be able to enter an opinion. So far, we've got 8 of them. Please, please keep it clean. Please. And that music tells me that we are going to take a quick break. But when we come back, we have some folks on the phone. There are some lines open. So if you're not on the phone, I have no idea why you're not. You should be, because we're chitting and chatting together here with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, the mighty Alex Vanderweel. I'm Nick Francesco. It is 16 minutes after the hour on this April 19th, which I believe is Easter Sunday in the Orthodox.
Yes, it is.
Catholic Church. So happy Easter to all of you. We will be back in just a couple of minutes with the greatest computer show in the known universe. That's Soundbites right here on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Reich.
And I'm Alex Vanderweel.
And at 20 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites, and we're going to the phones. And our first caller is Barry from Fairport, New York. Welcome, Barry. What's your question?
Is there an easy way to change the name of the XP system file?
Sounds no, dangerous. And you can't.
Yeah.
Why? What are you trying to do?
Yeah.
There's a new user on the computer, and I just wanted to change the name of the system file.
You can change a username, but yeah. You cannot change any system files.
Yeah, the system file has to be...
Define what you mean by system file.
Well, when you open the My Documents folder, there's a... You know, the first initials after is like... KT instead of when you first set the computer up, you named that file.
You named that user.
Yes.
Yeah, the user you can change in the user's control panel.
But there's still, when you go through all the stuff they tell you, you still can't get rid of that initial.
Right. The best thing to do is to create a new user with the name you want.
Yeah.
And then as the administrator, copy everything from the old user to the new user, change the permissions... And you're done.
Now, what if it won't let me put a new user on? It says something about your group administrator has blocked new users.
Well, you have to be the administrator in order to create new users.
Is there any difference under Sweet Professional?
No.
No.
No, it's either a limited user or
is this
administrator.
Your own personal machine or is it a work machine?
It's my own personal machine.
That you have an administrator account and you theoretically know the username and password for that account.
If there is one.
Right.
And then that person should be able to do pretty much anything.
Okay.
Yeah, he can create the new user, and he can move all the desktops, the documents, and all that stuff from one to the other.
And I've just posted a link on how to do that. And they also give you examples of changing the registry entry, which is what you want to do what you want to do.
But don't do it.
But don't do it, yeah, because it's dangerous. So dangerous changing registry entries.
Okay.
But yes,
make
a new user. Same thing on the Mac. There are ways to change your short name, but it's kind of tricky. You're better off making a new user, moving your stuff over, deleting the old user.
Right.
Okay.
All right. Good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, that's a little tricky.
He can do what he wants to do, but what he wants to do is not what he thought he had to do.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's not a system file. That's a user folder.
Right.
All right. Our next caller is Walter from Greece, New York. Welcome, Walter. What's your question?
Hi there, guys. We have an older laptop, so we installed Puppy Linux on it because it couldn't handle the Ubuntu we use on our desktop.
Right. Good choice.
So, two questions that I have about it. Ubuntu constantly keeps sending us security updates and whatever else, but Puppy Linux doesn't. So, is it a less secure system in your view?
Yes, frankly.
Okay. So, what do should I do? Should I?
Or maybe there just aren't that many bugs in it. No.
But, you know, because that's what I'm wondering. Do I have to go out into the universe there to go to, like, specific programs and see if there's an upgrade in some Gecko or some other stuff that's out there?
You'll have to go back to the Puppy Linux site and keep downloading the latest version that they have available.
Okay. So, like, every 6 months, that's going to be the way to do it to...
I don't know if they have a regular release schedule, but you should probably check it every 3-4 weeks.
Well, have you looked at their manual?
Yes, I have. It doesn't go too far. It kind of says, well, it's no less secure than any other Linux operating, even though you are running as the administrator.
Well,
you are running as root all the time.
Well, that is true. That is a true statement. It is no less secure than any other Linux being run as a root user.
Well, right.
Which is inherently insecure.
Right.
Across all Linux.
Inherently unsafe.
It looks like, yeah. Interestingly, it looks like one of the wish lists for Puppy Linux is updates.
Yeah, that's what I had thought of. I hadn't seen that part. Okay. So then my just other question, because there's a partial install, which they say runs much faster, but it seems you have to build your swap file almost like double the size of the RAM you may have on your machine.
Well, that's common. You should always have about twice to 2.5 times as much swap as you have RAM.
Okay.
If you have less than, say, 2 gig.
Yeah, oh, yeah. We only have about 512 of RAM in there, so that's why we were going to thinking worthwhile to put that in there. So I really should devote at least 2 gig, maybe even 3 gig for a swap file.
Let it, whatever it defaults to is going to be fine. Current versions of Linux are defaulting to about 1.5 times your existing RAM.
Okay, because there with Puppy Linux, there they tell you you even have to develop the swap file and then put in the word command so it can find a swap file so it can use it.
Allow me to suggest something different. Because you have 512K of RAM, you don't need to be running Puppy Linux.
Okay.
The distribution I'm going to suggest to you is derived from Ubuntu. It's all in the same family.
Okay.
It's called PC/, that'd be / OS.
Okay.
And I think you would get that on the internet by going to
PC-OS.org.
That's exactly where I was going to. But that doesn't give you the, you'll find a link there to a place that you can download it from. What's beautiful about that particular flavor of Linux is it has all the MP3 codecs. It allows you to play all the different, Flash comes with it. It's able to run everything right out of the box.
Oh, beautiful.
And with 512K of RAM, you're going to love this one.
Oh, beautiful.
And it will come with the Ubuntu updates.
Oh, wow. That's even better yet.
Try it. Okay. You'll like it.
All right. Will do. Thank
I gave you. That one to my 12-year-old niece last week.
Okay. So it's PC/OS.org.
No. The name of the software is PC/OS.
Okay.
The website you need to go to is PC-OS.
Okay. Got it.
Good luck.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Bye.
There you go. Ask and answer. All the good questions are coming and going. All right. Our next caller is Gary from Irondequoit, New York. Welcome, Gary. What's your question?
Well, I've got a problem with my Windows and Acrobat. I have Acrobat 5.0 loaded on my machine. However, my Windows, every time I want to go to a PDF document on the web, it wants to open up 5 to read it, but the Windows does not like 5. It wants 8 or above, but I've got Acrobat Reader 9 on my machine, and I've tried to reinstall it a number of times, and it still goes to the Acrobat 5.
You have to uninstall 5 before you install 9.
Well, no, this is not Acrobat Reader 5. It's Acrobat 5.
And what else do you do with your Acrobat 5?
Periodically. Once in a while, I'll create a PDF with a form fill-in on it.
Right,
but not often.
The problem is that unless you upgrade your Acrobat, you're going to have problems.
Yep. Yeah,
I know that Acrobat is a for-pay program, and that will therefore cost you money. But the simple reality is that you will have problems.
The disparate version between Acrobat and Acrobat Reader.
Right. There's.
Well, the other way to get around it is if you want to create PDFs. With OpenOffice.
Yeah, use another program besides Acrobat.
Well, I don't know
PDFs.
That you can create them with form fill-in.
Oh, really?
I don't know that.
Yeah,
I just haven't done
it. I don't know
either.
But I know you can save documents as PDFs.
Right.
But you can't open a PDF with OpenOffice.
Right.
Right. You use Acrobat.
Acrobat Reader for that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You may be able to change your file association tables.
But
to change all .pdfs to use Acrobat Reader 9 instead of Acrobat. There's also a plugin. Where do they put it on Windows? There's an internet plugin for Acrobat to let you view PDFs in your browser. You probably have the Acrobat plugin and not the Acrobat Reader plugin.
How do I find that and
You get a plug-in for a web browser.
Yeah, web browser plug-in under
the
Windows.
Plug-in is probably called acroread.so.something. 1.2.something, right? Whatever the number might be.
Where do I find that?
You're going to have to do a search.
Do a Google.
I don't know. I've never even looked at that, Steve.
I'm trying to Google it now. On the Mac, it's User Library Internet Plugins.
Right.
I found in Windows, and I don't remember where it is right now, a place to find plugins, but it appears that it's pointing to Acrobat 9, but I can't tell for sure.
You may have both the 5 plugin and the 9 plugin, and then your file association tables, some of them, the .pdf may be pointing to Acrobat, some of them may be pointing to Acrobat Reader. So you may have to go through your file association table and make sure that all the .pdfs you want are pointing to Reader 9, and then when you want to open Acrobat, you open it manually.
All right. Well, now you're telling me something I don't know where I'm looking at. Where would I look to find these things, or how would I?
There should be a program called AcroRD32.
Right.
Yeah, that's the program itself.
And that's inside the reader, but there should be an AcroRead.so.
Yeah, we're trying to find it.
Yeah, I don't see it here. We're going to have to defer that question, Gary. I don't have an instant answer for you, but if you did a search for acroread.s, there's a .so file, which is the file that...
And that file I'll do what with?
Although on Windows, it's probably acroread.dll now that I think of it. It's probably acroread.dll, I'm thinking, Linux.
You want to make sure you've got the version 9 plugin for Acrobat in your browser plugin tables.
The other thing is, it should honestly work if you install... Well, it might work if you install Acrobat first and then install 9, but you probably already did that. I don't believe... They simply don't coexist well. Yeah. I'm sorry, I don't have a better answer than that.
The only other thing to try is see if you can just change the association.
Unless you buy the newest version of Acrobat, you're not going to get to it. And I got to cut you off. We got to take a break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, who seems to know everything about Linux today, Alex Vanderweel. I'm Nick Francesco. It's 32 minutes after the hour. We are Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Reich.
And I'm Alex Vanderweel.
And at 36 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. Before we go on, I do want to say to Gary and Aranda Coit, if you are using Firefox, and I don't remember if we established that.
No, we didn't. No.
But if you are using Firefox, there is a plugin called Foxit that you could try. Both Steve and the folks on the IRC channel reminded me of that. foxitsoftware.com/pdf/reader. I don't know that takes precedence over the official Acrobat reader on your system, but I don't know that it doesn't. So that's a good way to try.
And if he's not using Firefox, he probably should be.
There's another one, right? There's another one called Primo PDF, according to PC Pixel 20. So we'll see. We'll see. Yeah, give those a try. Let us know. All right. All right, we're going back to the phones, and our next caller is Vito from Rochester, New York. Vito, what's your question?
Oh, hi there. Thanks very much for answering the question. I've got the Adware Express Adversity Edition, rather, on two machines. One, it works fine. The other one, it just about loads all the files that it's going to update and the definition file, and then it gives me connection error, check your settings. And I can't seem to get this second machine to work properly, and yet I know it can because it works on the other one. So if you got any clues, give me a...
Offhand, I would say it's a bad installation. I mean,
I redid the installation. I totally took it out with Revo and uninstaller, and I can't get it to work. And I checked all the files between one machine and the other in the different places, like programs and hidden files, and it's still not going.
And the problem you get is a connection error.
And then it says, check your settings. And I've done everything I can possibly do.
All right, now, in your firewall, because you're trying to connect to update, correct?
Yes.
Have you checked in your firewall to make sure that it's not... what are you using for a firewall program?
Zone Alarm.
Have you checked in there to make sure that maybe... delete this that program from it and have it redetect it and to tell it what to do with it?
I did that. It didn't help. I made sure that both machines have the same application shown there for Adware, and it doesn't make a difference.
Try turning Zone Alarm off completely temporarily.
Are they both Windows XP machines?
One's Pro and one's Home.
Which one is which?
The one that works is Pro. And I checked the internet, and a lot of people are having the same issue. And
is this one of those programs that sometimes comes up with like a server in Norway or something, and you got to change the server?
No. Adware is your favorite.
Where you'd update? Yeah, I know what you're talking about. No, that was SpyBot. SpyBot. And see, I don't use the Adware anymore. I've switched over to I'm using Super Anti Spyware and Malware Bytes.
Yeah, I have those two in there also, and they don't conflict with Adware because it works on the Pro machine, XP Pro.
Have you tried re-downloading the installer?
I did. I did a brand new install. I ditched the previous install, and I installed it, and I certainly removed everything with Revo and installer. So I'm at a loss, and a lot of people are having the same issue. So if I didn't work on the Pro machine,
we'd have to do a little more research because, like I say, right off the bat, no. Other than those common things that we tell you to do, it would just take some more further investigation.
Yeah, it might be a three-way conflict with something else in the system.
Yeah.
There is a workaround for it, and you can find it on the Adware system. I'll have Steve put up the link because it's a fairly long URL, but I'll have Steve put up the link. So after the show, check our
I heard it on the show.
Website. You'll go to links. I heard it on the show, and it'll be in there for today's date.
One last comment is that the last time I did it, after I did all the uninstall, checked the Zone Alarm program files, it gave me the update, but it didn't give me the date. So as far as it knows, it can't update. So it part of the job, but not the whole job.
Right.
You can manually download updates and then see if the next automatic update works.
I did that too. It didn't do that either. Mm-hmm. It's just like...
Well, like
more.
I said, there is a fix online. I'm not going to give you the whole thing right here, but it's there.
Give that a shot and let us know.
Give
next
that a shot
week.
And let us know.
I go to links and then I'll look it up there.
Yeah, but not until after the show. We won't have it up until after the show.
Thank you very much.
All righty. Right. Thanks.
Have a great day. Bye bye.
You too. All right. Our next caller is Richard from Irondequoit, New York. Welcome, Richard. What's your question?
I bought a new router. I went to an N grade router from
right.
G. And now I can't get my laptop to find the router. Do I need a new card, an N card for the
Well,
laptop?
If it's only an N router, if that's all it will do, and your laptop does not do N, then you'll need a new card in there.
So check your router settings and see if there's a compatibility mode where it will do N and G and B.
Yeah. Many of them do that.
Yes.
And a lot of them have settings where you can turn off support for the older speeds, and so it only works in N mode.
So, you got to go in there and check the settings.
Okay, because I've been doing this for 2 days now.
Well, that's the deal. If it only does N, and you can't make it also do B or G,
right?
Then you're going to have to get a new card for your laptop. But I don't even think they sell a router that doesn't do
all of them.
At least one lower than N.
But in settings, you can change it to only do N. Because if you put a G device on an N network, everything slows down a little bit.
Yeah.
So actually, some of the new routers are dual band, so you can put N on the 2 gigahertz and the G on the 5 gigahertz. No, the other way around. N on the 5 gigahertz, G on 2.4 gigahertz, and then each network runs at full speed.
Okay, because I did notice that I lost boot up speed for the internet with the N.
Right.
I thought maybe I had too long of a wire. I don't know.
Of that fine manual.
Look in the manual.
I'm doing that.
All
okay,
right.
So I think a car would be the way to go.
There you go. Well, that'll give you the faster speed, but honestly, unless you're on an awfully fast connection, it won't matter.
Yes.
Yeah, even B is faster than the internet.
Right. A B connection is 11 megabits per second. So unless your network connection is greater than 11 megabits per second, if you're moving data around your own network, then an N is fine. But the minute you go off your network onto the internet, B is fine.
Okay, because it's showing me I've got 54 megabits.
That's
from
G.
You to the router.
Right, but
that's your intranet.
But there's another bottleneck somewhere else.
That's not your internet. No, see, there's
right,
a difference.
Right.
Okie doke?
Correct.
All righty.
Okay, guys, thanks.
Sure. All righty, have a good one.
All right. Before I go on, I do want to say we said we were going to have the battle of the netbooks, but Alex did not bring in her netbook. On the other hand, she did bring me in the specifications, and honestly, they're dang near identical. And I think I've said this before. Internally, most of these are the same. They have pretty much the same processor. We've got pretty much the same memory. Her screen is a little longer than mine. Mine's 578. Hers is 600. They're both 1024 across. Hard drive size is the same. The difference will be in the quality and the type of things you get in the case itself.
Now, is that a 1.8-inch drive in those netbooks?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or, of course, you get the solid-state drive.
If you get that option.
Right.
Which is still the 1.8 form factor.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Isn't that what was in the old iPods?
Yeah, the iPod mini had a 1.8-inch
That's what
drive.
You changed out of mine.
Yep.
All right, we're going to go back to the phones. Our next caller...
Jim.
Wait, I think we have time.
Actually,
we have
no. The current hard drive-based iPod is a 1.8-inch drive. The mini had a 1-inch drive.
Okay. I think we've got no time at the moment.
Right.
So what we're going to do... Yeah, we're professionals.
We I wouldn't try this in years now?
You. I know it. How many years? 29, whatever, how many, 19, whatever years?
Well, we've
been doing this
in September,
and,
we actually finish 20 years.
Yeah, exactly. So I've been doing this 19-plus years, and apparently I have no clue what I'm actually doing. I'd like to apologize to each and every one of you. I've not had enough caffeine. That's very clear today. So we are going to... We're going to take a break because I need it. I don't really care about you. I need a break. So you get to listen. Maybe there's my problem. You get to listen to these little economic dramas while I take a quick break and just put myself back together. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, Alex Vanderweel. I'm Nick Francesco, dependent on the kindness of strangers. It is 46 minutes after the hour, and you are listening to the greatest computer show in the known universe. We, for as long as nobody from corporate is listening, are Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Wright.
And I'm Alex Vanderweel.
And at 50 minutes after the hour, we are right back to the phones. Our next caller is Jim from Syracuse, New York. Welcome, Jim. What's your question?
Hi, guys. I'm the one that sends all a cranky email to your bosses when you're not on.
Thank you.
So, anyhow, believe it or not, I actually have a problem with Windows.
No.
Yes. I knew that would shock you.
Thank heaven I was sitting.
Yes. Anyway, I had Flight Simulator 10.
You had what?
Flight Simulator 10.
Okay.
And did an uninstall, and then went to do a reinstall. And I get a window that comes up that says repair or remove, doesn't matter which one I select, comes up and says, hey, you can't do that. So I went through the registry, the whole bit, pulled out everything I could find that had anything to do with Flight Simulator 10, and went to try and do a clean reinstall on it, and it still comes up with that error message. So last week or the week before, you guys were talking about some heavy-duty uninstaller program.
Yeah, the one program that I recommend you use for any time, uninstalling any program within Windows, and it's called Revo. R-E-V-O.
Okay.
And it is a fantastic program because, unlike Windows, it actually cleans up its mess of the registry entries, all the separate little file entries that will be on your hard disk, any of the folders. It does a complete and utter wiping out of any existence of the program ever being there.
Cool beans.
So, yeah, try Revo and use it for everything.
All right.
I mean, whether it's printers, accounting programs, Quicken, you name it, it will handle any program. Unlike Windows, it just turns off a bit and it leaves the registry big and fat.
Yes.
On the other hand, lots and lots of people are having this problem, and they're saying that the answer is that during the installation, you have to disable your firewall, your antivirus, and your malware detectors.
What's the point of being online?
Well, just for the install, and then put them back after you do the install.
I'm a little more paranoid than that, but yeah, okay, I can do that. I'll just pull the plug on the wall.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. All right, we can probably do that. All right, so Revo, and I'll get that, and I'll give that a run, see, and see what's
going
on.
Yeah, now the thing of it is, though, is if you've already tried wiping out, you might have to do an install of the program so Revo can at least find it. Because if you've done, you've already gone halfway in removing stuff, you're going to have it there. So Revo needs to see the program. So put reinstall the program and then let Revo.
He can't reinstall the program. That's the problem.
Won't let me.
He can't install it.
Then
that's why I'm saying what you really need to try is disabling your antivirus, your firewall, and your malware programs. And the theory is, according to the folks in the forums of the Flight Simulator tech support, they're saying that's what you have to do.
All right, I'll give that a try, see what happens. Tune for maximum smoke.
There you go.
All right, you guys have a great weekend.
You too.
That guy's talking like a ham operator.
Exactly. See, that's a problem. It can't do it after you've already done a partial uninstall. Revo has to do it right from the get-go.
Right.
It can't fix something.
That's why it won't fix this. Yep. Our next caller is Steve from Pittsford, New York. Welcome, Steve. What's your question?
I'm running Microsoft 2000 Professional, and I cannot, for the life of me, get Microsoft to load Micro.net Framework 1.1 Service Pack, KB928366 and KB947742, and they appear to be the same program or fix. They're both labeled security, and I don't know what the hell to do about it.
Well, in both cases, have you read the knowledge base in question? Does it say it actually will work with Windows 2000? Because a lot of them won't anymore.
Oh, yeah.
You need Service Pack 4 or better. What service pack do you have for Windows?
You know, I don't know, but I have gone over it with Microsoft, who's charged me, I think, $29.
Yep.
And they said that it would load. They gave me instructions, which didn't work.
Yeah, but did you check your service pack first? They were probably assuming...
Yeah, you have to have service pack 4 installed.
Where do I find the service pack?
If you go into the control panel under the system icon, you click on it there, just a general tab, it will tell you what version you're on. It'll tell you it's like Windows 2000, and it'll say underneath it service pack, whatever you're running.
I'm in it. And it says Service Pack 4.4.
And it still doesn't work.
Right.
And what error message do you get?
It downloads, but it won't install.
And what error message do you get?
The only error I get is this update was not installed.
You may have to check your event log to see the more detailed error.
Okay.
The other thing you also have to have prior is Windows Installer 3.1. There are knowledge base articles on Microsoft's website on known issues installing these updates.
Okie doke, I'll try that.
Okay.
Yeah, if you read that knowledge base article number that you gave us, it tells there are known issues with the updates and how to resolve that issue.
Okie doke. Thanks a lot.
All righty. I think we can just squeeze Mark in here. We got about
Mark from Canandaigua. What's your question?
How you doing? I tried installing Google Talk. Are you familiar with that?
A little bit, yeah.
All right, well, apparently I've got it all installed, but every time I try and go into it, enter my username and my password, it says you successfully logged in, but let's see if I can remember what it says. I need to create an account. I created the account, but it keeps doing that.
Well, are you logged into your account on Google itself?
No.
You need to log into your Google Mail account.
So I'm there while I'm doing this, you mean?
Yeah, do that first.
Okay.
So that it can make that connection.
I got you.
And then you should actually be able to run Google Talk right from inside that, actually, and that should work for you.
So go to, because Yahoo was my primary.
Well, now, try doing it within Google. Yep. Log on to Google. For your mail, and then you should have a Google Talk section there, and you should be able to run that. We're done for another week. I want to thank everybody who called in. Apologize to everyone to whom we did not get. Chris, quickly.
Just need to mention very quickly that the last week's podcast, which will be ready very soon, has some gaps in it due to a technical problem with the recording. And back to Nick.
All right. Want to thank you. You've been listening to Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.